really bad shape, if that's the case. I see nothing but trouble ahead for me.
Ugh, believe it.
Well, we'll take it. We will look, see about it anyhow. Let's go back to chapter, you said 11? Well, all right, chapter 11. We call that, called chapter 11, profile in genocide. Why? Because Athaliah, you know, tried to kill all the seed royal. We divide into three parts, the slaughterer, verses 1, well, just verse 1, Athaliah's vengeance. Verses 2 to 16, the surprise, Jehoiada the priest protects Joash and then presents him as king. Then verses 17 to 21, the success, Jehoiada's covenant that he makes with the people. So let's look at this 11th chapter of 2 Kings. Praise the Lord. My memory is really bad if I couldn't remember that. And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. You know, I heard a preacher once giving several reasons of people who could have put an end to Christmas or could have prevented Christmas. One of them being Herod, you know, if he'd have killed baby Jesus, that would have been the end of that, which of course he couldn't do. But Athaliah, had she killed all the royal seed, you know, God's promise to David that his offspring would sit on the throne would have been frustrated. So God used the strangest things to fulfill his will. You know, I thought, I'm getting off the subject a bit, but think about this. When the soldiers came to break the legs of Jesus and the two thieves, because they had to hasten their death, because it was, you know, they had to come off those crosses before that holy time began. The Jews wouldn't have that, you know. They couldn't have their sacred day desecrated. So they broke the legs of the two thieves, and then they came to Jesus, and he was already dead. And then a soldier, you might say at random, no one told him to do it. He just thought, well, you know, I don't know what he thought. We'll have to find out when we get to heaven. You know, I think I'll just put a spear in his side just to see what, to make sure, you know. And he did that, and John said he did that the scripture might be fulfilled. They should look on him whom they pierced. And again, you know, it says John says out of his side came blood and water. Well, Paul said in Hebrews, and by the law almost all things are purged by blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. And we also read over and over, he redeemed us by his blood. He had to shed his blood. It almost looked like just an accident, you know. No accidents with God. He uses the random, he used it all. So there's an evil woman here who's up to no good. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain, and they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. Well, let's go over to verse 3. And he was with her hid in the house of the Lord 6 years, and Athaliah did reign over the land. And the seventh year, Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds, and the captains and the guard, and brought them to him into the house of the Lord, and made a covenant with them, and took an oath of them in the house of the Lord, and showed them the king's son. Surprise. And then they get all set, and they present him. Verse 12. And he brought forth the king's son, and put the crown upon him, and gave him the testimony, and they made him king, and anointed him, and they clapped their hands and said, God save the king. And when Athaliah heard the noise of the guard and of the people, and she came to the people into the temple of the Lord. And when she looked, behold, the king stood by the pillar, as the manner was, and the princes and the trumpeters by the king. And all the people of the land rejoiced and blew with trumpets. And Athaliah rent her clothes and cried, treason, treason. But Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains of the hundreds, and he said, have her forth without the ranges. Don't kill her here, though. For the priest had said, let her not be slain in the house of the Lord. And they laid hands on her, and she went by the way by which the horses came into the king's house, and there was she slain. And Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord and the king and the people, that they should be the Lord's people between the king also and the people. And all the people of the land went into the house of Baal and break it down. His altars and his images break they in pieces thoroughly, and slew Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars, and the priest appointed officers over the house of the Lord. Verse 20, and all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was in quiet, and they slew Athaliah with the sword beside the king's house. 7 years old was Joash when he began to reign. So there's a new order here. Now, in the 12th chapter, we're now ready for the 12th chapter, it looks like. In spite of my thought here on that, I think we call this profile in reaction. You know, this was Joash's reign, Three parts. The reason, the godly priest. Well, I don't have it. How that's divided up. The repairs, the temple renovated. We'll notice that there is three parts of the chapter. I didn't give the verses. The retreat, Jehoash gives in to Hazael. So let's look at this chapter. Chapter 12. In the seventh year of Jehu, Jehoash began to reign, and 40 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Ziba of Beersheba. And Jehoash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. That's why I call it reaction. You know, we don't know that he did this on his own. He had a good teacher. He had a good influence here. And as long as he was there, you know, he did all right. There's some. I think God has some people like that, that as long as there's a good, powerful leader around, people go right. Sometimes when the leader falls, a lot of the people go haywire. And that doesn't, you know, that betrays their weakness, but still, it's always been like that. You know, people do follow their leaders, don't they? It's not a virtue. I mean, it isn't all virtue. We should follow the Lord, regardless of what, if a leader should fail, but that is easier maybe said than done. All right, so verse 4. And Jehoash said to the priest, all the money of the dedicated things that is brought into the house of the Lord, even the money of every one that passeth the account, the money that every man is set at, and all the money that cometh into any man's heart to bring into the house of the Lord, let the priest take it to them, every man of his acquaintance, and let them repair the breaches of the house, wheresoever any breach shall be found. You know, his heart was in repairing the house of the Lord, which had been in disrepair and neglect. But it didn't work out too good, and then they changed their method a little bit. Verse 9, but Jehoiada the priest took a chest and bored a hole in the lid of it and set it beside the altar on the right side as one cometh into the house of the Lord. And the priest that kept the door put therein all the money that was brought into the house of the Lord. We don't have a chest in our church, but maybe we ought to put one up there for the altar, you know. The Lord's taking care of our needs in a little different way than that, but the Lord's good, isn't he? And, you know, you have to have a... Someone says, we don't have any plans. Everybody's got plans. Some people's plans are better than others, but everybody's got either well thought out plans or just helter skelter plans. God has an order, and I think it behooves us to do things decently and in order. And so this was the order to get the money and wherewith to repair the house of God. Verse 11, and they gave the money, being told into the hands of them that did the work, that had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and they laid it out to the carpenters and builders that wrought upon the house of the Lord, and to the masons and hewers of stone, and to buy timber and huge stone to repair the breaches of the house of the Lord, for all that was laid out for the house to repair. You know, I don't think God today is so much concerned with the material house. Then that was very, very important. But I don't think it becomes the Lord to let the material house get in too much neglect either. Do you? You know, that kind of says, well, you know. It kind of reminds you of Proverbs, by idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through. And so we ought to. Now remember, years ago, Brother Jack Martin came down to the campgrounds, and we were just working ourselves slick trying to get a few basic things done. He said, well, the first thing you need to do here is get everything in mint condition. And that's the way he operates, you know, and that is a good way to be. You know, God's business should be in mint condition as much as we can have it that way. But especially the spiritual side, don't you think? If the spiritual side's that way, the material side will be taken care of. Let's move on. We're going to have to travel pretty fast here in 2 Kings, and we may have to move from one jet airplane to one that's a little faster, which means we'll see even less of the landmarks if we get done. All right, so let's go now to the 16th verse. The trespass money and sin money was not brought into the house of the Lord. It was the priest. Then Hazael, king of Syria, went up and fought against Gath and took it. And Hazael set his face to go up to Jerusalem. That was the king of Syria, you remember? I got to brush up my memory. I've been out of school so long that I've really got rusty. And Jehoash, king of Judah, took all the hallowed things that Jehoshaphat and Jehoram and Ahaziah, his father's kings of Judah, had dedicated, and his own hallowed things and all the gold that was found in the treasures of the house of the Lord and in the king's house, and sent it to Hazael, king of Syria, and he went away from Jerusalem. Now, you know, this was the part of the chapter that I call retreat. Jehoash here apparently has no good influence, and he just caves in to old Hazael. He didn't put up a fight. He just caved in. He didn't have much backbone. He was just had to be led by somebody else. All right, so he passes, and another king takes his place. Verse 20, and his servants, well, let's read verse 19. And the rest of the acts of Joash and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And his servants arose and made a conspiracy and slew Joash in the house of Malo, which goeth down to Silla. For Jazachar, the son of Shimeath, and Jehozabad, the son of Shomer, his servants, smote him, and he died, and they buried him with his fathers in the city of David, and Amaziah, his son, reigned in his stead.